Chapter 16 The True Life, Part 2. In the first chapter on the true life, we ascertained that the dialectical human being in this nature order is driven in the name of God along a path of culture. In the sense of the holy language, this way is designated as the Old Testamentary period. The purpose of this way of humanity is to allow it to recognize the finiteness, the limitations, the ungodliness of its state at the summit of the cultural criteria, so that it becomes receptive to the touch of a new system of liberation, the spiritual order of Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. To make a human being positively receptive to the touch of the Spirit, to lead a microcosm into the holy halls of the universal fullness, it is necessary to lead him or her to a more refined earth-born consciousness. The human being must know his or her state of being, must taste it completely. This knowing, tasting, understanding, and penetrating can only be realized by consciousness. We can perhaps overwhelm each other for some time with a torrent of words. We can cause divertissement for each other for a while in unbridled enthusiasm, raising us above our actual state of being, but this never offers a lasting result. That is why the servants of the pre-Christian periods always aimed at a permanent elevation of the consciousness, a refinement of the cognitive faculty, before the Spirit could speak its, "See, here I am." Therefore, you must understand what immeasurable love lies at the foundation of the Brotherhood's endeavor. For clarification, even considering the history of the Jews literally, we can see how their journey through the desert, a journey of 40 years, shows a very meandering route, a course of ups and downs, an image of a real trek. The journey of the Israelites from the house of bondage to the promised land is not a direct route. A straight road has not been explored from the Red Sea to the Dead Sea. And we see how the hierophants of the old dispensation accompany this peregrination right up to the last step. When the Lord of all life sends his servants to gather the harvest, there is no forcing and no authoritative command of, "Are you coming or not?" But every human soul is fought for in order to save it. So the hierophants wander with the wanderers and are prepared to accompany them on their meandering and bear their foolishness. And like Moses, they cover their countenance so that the wanderers do not see their glory. For a worker in God's vineyard, it is not a matter of entering the fatherland oneself, but of letting the wanderers enter the Father's house. When the flock entrusted to him returns to the old ways, because the consciousness cannot yet grasp the rescuing cord, then the hierophant is ready to go back with them. When the flock stands still, he stays with it. So the wandering path is an unceasingly new attempt, the never giving up of the task assumed, the veritable divine offering in Christ. It is in this sign that one should understand and evaluate the comings and goings of the sacred workers. They do not let go of wandering humanity for one second. They go with us through the Red Sea of blood desires to the Dead Sea of the cultural criteria. This is why we must first be born before we can be reborn. We must know the curse of our state in the fullest scope of our consciousness. That is the meaning of the words in The Gray Ocean. I greet you, O gray sea of life. I ever greet you, O dead sea of dialectical reality. This refers to The Gray Ocean by Z.W. Lean. Please understand that in the holy language and in the holy work, two voices speak to humanity. In the sense of history in this field of existence, the words resound from the hierophant's mouth. All the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Has everything old passed away for us? Has everything become new with us? The old passes away only when everything has indeed really become new. So although the new dispensation, the new promise calls forcefully, the greater part of humanity still stands with body and soul in the Old Testamentary phase. In other words, the hierophants of the old dispensation are still fully active in guiding human beings through the Red Sea of the blood nature to the Dead Sea of the cultural criterion. Also in the spiritual school, unceasing endeavors are made to elevate the consciousness to a positive and absolute realization. Whoever grasps that absolute realization is embraced by the arms of eternity in the new dispensation, a covenant that is spirit and therefore love, a condition in unity, freedom, and love. In this state of being, one does not say, "Have a good day, now I can go and do it on my own." No, one stands together with all the brothers and sisters in the great field of service. In the desert, of course, in the middle of the horror, of course, in a world which is no longer their own. Naturally, when divine love is born in the manifestation field of the microcosm, it does not let go of the works of God's hands and accompanies the wanderers on their wanderings right to the last step. Reborn in the unity of the Spirit and in the freedom of the children of God, this is the love that surpasses all understanding and which allows it to descend in profound happiness into the caverns of darkness. Who grasps this stands in an almost complete joy, because forever and again it turns out that we are not left alone, that there is direction and guidance in our life, that our gross shortcomings are not counted against us. Then we understand the psalmist when he sings, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repays us according to our iniquities. Great and mighty are the legions of the light." The Brotherhood does everything to help a human being. Just like the Lord, it too descends into the realm of death to make us rise into the light. The great periods of humanity follow each other as cosmic days and nights, as you know. Always, when a day ends, like in this era, the voices resound, "Arise, let us go from here, hora est, the time has come." Who understands this goes, in full awareness. Those who do not understand this remain. Chained to the great cosmic wheel, they go to meet a new dialectical human period of development, and there too the Brotherhood takes up its calling and saving work afresh. Do grasp, however, that although philosophically there is an absolute chasm between those who understand and those who do not understand when the call resounds, "Go out, behold, the bridegroom comes." Zrania, the Brotherhood does not simply acquiesce in that momentary factual situation. There are many in the great multitude who do not understand but who associate with it in a kind of twilight state, but who nevertheless carry the actual potential for liberation in this period of humanity. This situation gives a modern spiritual school like ours its right to exist. Although wholly focused on the call, "Go out to meet the bridegroom," at the same time the spiritual school seeks to lead all who delay in the twilight valley of their consciousness to such a pronounced cultural criterion that they stand consciously on the banks of their Jordan, the river that flows into the Dead Sea of dialectical bankruptcy. We are now at the end of this period and are entering a new phase. The Dead Sea is almost within reach. We stand at the banks of our Jordan, and while the last of the prophets raises his voice with the resounding call, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight," we see the Hierophant of the new dispensation approaching on the other side of the river. Now an awe-inspiring and bewildering wonder develops, a wonder so great and glorious, so incomparably loving that neither head nor heart can understand it. Referring to the new Hierophant, John speaks, "One who is mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." Then Jesus the Lord goes to John to be baptized and plunges head to foot in the Jordan. What does this mean? When you have reached your Dead Sea in conscious awareness of standing in the dullness of this earth and thereby experience the confusion, when the eye of this nature stands in the humility of self-unmasking, then at that psychological moment the Lord of all life comes to us. Grasp this well. Comes to us. Psychologically, quite consistently, the candidate would then say, just like John, "Lord, I should be baptized by you." But no, the divine labor of love goes with us to the last inch. The Spirit of the New Alliance stands with us at our Dead Sea. He stands beside us when we have reached the deepest point of despair, and he plunges from head to foot into this field of existence. In this situation, the entire field of manifestation, enclosed by the auric being, is pervaded by the Spirit. The dead water of life is powerfully stirred, and as the divine emerges, the other one, the positive, atomic, organic principle of the new man, is distinctly born in the field of manifestation. Then the following words become a reality. It was of this spirit soul that the Spirit of Truth said, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." When the pupil makes his Old Testamentary journey through the desert, led by his hierophants, the rejected life in him is led to a zero point, to a defeat. He goes from the Red Sea to the Dead Sea, from blood passion to a lawful end, a culmination in which the consciousness, in self-knowledge, sees and hears clearly. That is the eye-breaking the way from delusion to disillusion. In this way, the whole field of manifestation in which the personality with its aura and its magnetic fields exists is prepared for the great day when the spiritual soul, the spiritual consciousness, can be born. The spiritual consciousness, the spirit soul, stands unattached and free from the personality in the field of manifestation. It illuminates this field like a new sun. This light arises in the being as the sun of the eternal fullness. On this day, the pupil knows to have really become alive before the Father, because the new spirit soul recognizes spontaneously the eternal being with absolute certainty. So this revelation of the eternal Spirit of Truth calls everyone in whom it comes into being, and anyone who stands in this birth knows how it has come about. Only those newborn at the Dead Sea of their blood passions know what and how the divine realm is. Hence this stands absolutely firm before us all, as an axiom. Unless one is born anew, one cannot see the kingdom of God. As long as we still live in our Old Testamentary period, everything is religion, art, and science, natural assimilation, provisions on the journey from the Red Sea to the Dead Sea. Necessary and unavoidable, a process that we all have to go through, a process led in part by the spiritual school. At this stage, all reality and perfection are still beyond us. Only when that glorious and magnificent day comes, on the bank of our Jordan River, in the region of the Dead Sea of self-breaking, can it be said in relation to us. On that day, you will be conscious that the Holy Spirit has come to you. Then you will know that I am in the Father, that you are in me, and I in you. Because all who are reborn in the Spirit see face to face and recognize every brother and sister beloved with them in the eternal fullness, from the Red Sea to the Dead Sea, from the Dead Sea to eternal glory.